This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are the YouTube outage is going to get those of you that have YouTube.tv a free week. Bowering tech workers? What does the president really mean? Tesla Model S was stolen with a tablet and a mobile phone. And believe it or not, your phone and apps that you've installed may still be tracking you. I want to welcome you to episode 1321 of Geek News Central for Monday, October 22nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today as well at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. I want to thank you for being here. I'm back after being gone for a week. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime viewers and listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Again, for those of you who are brand new, just take some time to get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. And when you're over there, subscribe via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or just use that old school RSS feed. That'll get you connected with the show, get you subscribed. You can scroll down a little bit on the website and you'll find the link to get subscribed to the newsletter as well. That's a great way to get started here, to get connected with the Ohana. And that way you'll never miss a single episode. Of course, we want you to check the show out on the variety of places that we have the podcast. And if you have a smart home device, you can use the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can listen to the show on blueberry.com or you can watch the show on Apple and your Apple TV as well, just by searching for Geek News Central. We are live at live.geeknewscentral.com on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. And we're also on Mixer, so we're really basically everywhere we can be here, be live. You can join our two chat rooms. You can join at geeknews.chat or on Slack. The Slack is probably the coolest way, but the geeknews.chat is for the true nerds. It's our Mastodon chat server. Of course, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com. Or if I can press the button here right, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Follow me on Facebook. And of course, don't forget to check out our partner shows. And we got a new show coming at the end of the week. So Kirk is launching his new show. So we'll have his show linked up here in a few days. But you can follow the Gadget Professor, go over to the Pro Gear site. Definitely check out all the information over there. The New Media Show or the Podcast Legends Podcast. All those links are at the top of the website at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, we look forward to bringing Kirk's new show to you. We'll talk all about that on Thursday. Get it linked up so that you don't miss a single episode of his new podcast. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, we want to thank the longest running continuous sponsor of our podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And you can get great deals. You can save a lot of money. You can basically get everything you need to get online, get started, get a website launched, pick up a domain, start a business at GoDaddy. And you can use all my promo codes again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And here's the real kicker. You can save 30% on new product purchases. You can get a .com for 99 cents. You can get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, or you get $1 a month managed WordPress hosting again for the first year with a free domain. So $12 gets you up and running with a domain and a website. Or you can pick the 1 month free of GoDaddy Website Builder. This is for you business owners out there, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. And again, all these promo codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to share these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Share them on Twitter, on Facebook. Link back to the webpage. Share them on your own blogs. Talk about them on your own podcast. really, it's the best way to support the show. If you can't make a purchase at GoDaddy, share this information with people that you know, people that you love, people that you want to make sure save a lot of money. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, really since almost the beginning, being a part of this Ohana since June of 2005. So again, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. So lots to catch you guys up on. Obviously, I was off last week. I flew on Thursday. We did the show more than a week ago, right? So the last show that I did on Thursday, Friday morning, basically I got everything around here, and then late Friday afternoon, flew out to Newark, 10 hours or so to Newark, transferred planes, bounced over to Detroit, and then got in a rental car. And then the flight out of Newark was like 2 hours delayed. So I had a little bit of a delay getting into Michigan, but got into my mom's place, Saturday mid-afternoon, spent some quality time with the family, with my sister and the kids, and the whole gang was there. So got to catch up with them. And, those of you that are following the Facebook page, you saw a little bit of drone time. So I did a little bit of drone flying while I was there. I was there twice, and I'll kind of explain that. But on Tuesday morning, I left really, really early, I think 4:30 in the morning, and I got to the office in Columbus a little bit after 8 o'clock. Matter of fact, Angela was getting to the office just as I was, and went in and then spent 3 very full days with my team there. Some of you saw the pictures up online. I really had a very, very productive 3 days. Barry Kantz, my financial officer, he came down and he was in the office as well. He came down from Grand Rapids. So overall, very, very productive 3 days in the office. And Thursday at the close of business, then I packed up and drove back up to Michigan. Got in there after 8 p.m. or so. And then again, hung out with the family Friday and Saturday. And then, of course, Saturday we did the new media show. Rob Greenlee took charge of the hosting duties that day. And then basically I woke up god awful early. I had to get up at 1:30 in the morning on Sunday. I left my mom and sister's place at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours to Detroit. So I get checked in about 4:30 or so, and then off to Newark at almost 6. We got into Newark just a little bit late. Traffic there was bad, and I was in A terminal, had to go to C terminal. So it was just a mad dash to make the connection flight. And then, of course, 10 and a half hours back to Hawaii. Got in here yesterday afternoon. By about 6:30 yesterday evening, I was done. I was stick a fork in me. I was pow. And I think I slept the longest I've ever slept straight in a long time. I think I slept for like 9 hours straight, but still recovering from jet lag. But so far, so good back here in the studio. Glad to be back with you. Was a nice to have a little bit of downtime while I was with family and with my team in Columbus. But I think the schedule, the way I'm looking at everything right now, no travel until the week following Thanksgiving. So I'm going to be here all the way through November. I think I fly out to the East Coast on the 25th or so, and I'll be in the East Coast the week of the 26th, and then back here for several weeks before we really get, you know, CES is just going to boom. It's going to show up quick. So December is going to be, I think, going to be a short month with my first grandchild coming and everything else right after Christmas. Yeah, it's going to be kind of crazy all the way through the first week of January. But anyway, so you've got me for, well, what do we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks or so right up to Thanksgiving. So we'll be doing the show on a normal schedule. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family. Thanks for hanging out. Got a lot of content to get into tonight. If you're, doesn't matter where you're joining the show, thanks for being here. Hey, just want to let you know the test that I have been doing with the cloud server with Wowza. So what I'm finding is they give me 10 hours with the base package that I have. And then each additional streaming hour over 10 hours cost me about $5 an hour to do. So watching how this thing adds its math up and how it works, I think I've learned a little bit this month on how to maximize the basically the time that I'm doing live streaming and not to run two or three transcoders at once, but only to run one. And I think I've got that pretty much dialed in. Of course, we're doing YouTube separately now because I just found YouTube was not healthy enough via the Wowza server to run that through that as well. So, but I think otherwise, I think we're doing real good with the Wowza platform. And I think I'll be able to get the bill down. It was a little high the first month just because I didn't fully know how the billing worked because they're not real clear in their documentation of what the overage cost is. And now that I've got that nailed down, I think we'll be around $100 a month to do all the different live streams I do and across all the channels. So I think I'm pretty pleased with that cost, and it definitely will allow me to eliminate some additional bandwidth here, which is good. It brings the be a trade off. But anyway, that's it on that, and I'll keep you guys advised. So first story up tonight on the tech side. You know, earlier this week YouTube was down, and given how many hours of videos are watched, essentially every hour, and how many videos are being uploaded, being down for an hour or two has a significant impact on its users. So anyone that has YouTube TV as a subscription, you're going to get a credit for a week free. You're going to get 1 week free access. I think that's pretty good on YouTube. He says, "We're sorry about the unexpected YouTube TV interruption October 16th. We love our TV as much as you do, and our goal is to make sure that you can access your events and shows. To help this make you right, we'll give you a week free of service. But you got to fill out a form, and you got to fill this form out by the 24th. Okay. So be aware, if you don't fill out the form, you don't get the credit. So if you're listening to the show and you have YouTube TV, I hope you listen to it before the 24th. The cutoff is October 24th, 11:59 PM Pacific time. So that should cover most of you. If you listen to the show right away, and you'll be able to get that credit that you so deserve. But good on YouTube for doing this. One of the, I heard last week that the president was going to have some folks in from Google, Microsoft, and Amazon and IBM discuss ways to make it easier for employees to take leaves of absence to help the government with projects according, and this was according to the Washington Post. So they had this meeting, and I'm just kind of thinking a little bit here, I'm just out of turn. If you look at the government pay scale for a government service worker, a GS worker, and even someone at the very top scale, and what they make out is, you know, if you run it out to the highest amount, most tech industry, anyone that's with has any chops whatsoever, 5-10 years worth of experience, there is no way the government can afford these folks that would come over and work on projects. And there's obviously contracting vehicles and so forth to allow contractors to hire people at a much higher wage rate. But I think the government has a hard time attracting tech talent, not necessarily because of who's in the administration, because if you're you're working down in the trenches, let's say you go to work for NASA or you go to work for some three-letter agency or whatever group you go work for, you're just a worker bee. You're doing code or doing tech or whatever it is. And it's just like any other business per se. But the challenge is that the reason the government has such a hard time attracting top talent is it just can't afford to pay for them. And the current compensation scheme that the government has in place makes it very, very difficult to be competitive with some of these folks that are making, big, big money in the private sector. And I just don't see a lot of people volunteering to come work for the government for a short period of time on a project. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense that they would do this. I really don't see how this is going to help. Just because these employees are already making big bank, and probably the people that the government would recruit for a short period of times would be people that are really at the top of their game. They're not just going to go out and hire a 3-year programmer to come in and do some code. No, they're going to want someone that's got some juice behind them. So I think this meeting was a little weird. But obviously, what you end up having as coders and stuff working for the government are folks that if they're working as a government employee, they're very, very quickly tap out the top of their pay scale and become very, very, the lucrative amount of money that will be offered in the private sector makes a lot of people jump ship. So I just don't see how you can, unless you make a new class, a new wage scale for these very expensive tech workers. I just don't see how they do it. But anyway, that's my two cents worth there. And, basically a little bit of insight from me. So Tesla, of course, has all this cool technology, right? The cars are very connected. They, just like any other car out there, they use a key fob to open the vehicle. And a lot of it has to do with the technology allowing people to get close to their car and have proximity settings that would automatically unlock a car, open the door. A number of things can happen with these proximity settings for all the Tesla cars. But there's a video out showing two thieves that were skulking around a Model S at night when it was parked in a driveway. This happened in the UK. The one guy was carrying a tablet and another guy was carrying a phone. They eventually intercepted the frequency used by the Tesla's owner's key fob, even though according to the owner, it was at the back of the house. The thieves then relay that signal to the car, tricking it into thinking that the owner was using the key fob to get in and drive. Now, they could have been out of the driveway in about 90 seconds, but the problem they ran into is they didn't know how to take the charger port, how to unplug the charger. And they took literally a couple minutes to figure out how to unlock and how to pull the charger off. So you end up with the car, from the time they walk into the garage to the car drove out of the driveway, about 3 minutes. But they could have been there and gone in 90 seconds easy. So obviously Tesla has said that you should disable proximity settings. You should enable the two-factor authentication, something called pin to drive, so that once you're in the vehicle, you still have to put a pin in the dashboard. But people don't like that. They want the convenience of being able to walk up to the car, have the car unlock, open the door, jump in, stick it in drive, and drive away. So Tesla, though, has said if you're going to have your key fob and you're going to have proximity setting set up. When you're not using it, you need to have your key fob in a Faraday cage. Well, I think we all know that's not very practical either. But one thing's for sure, I think Tesla owners will wake up a little bit here and understand that their vehicle is very much susceptible to be stolen just like any other car. All right, there's an article over Newsweek, and I don't think we get Newsweek articles on this show very often, but this story intrigued me quite a little bit, and Kirk had found this in the show prep today, and it says, your phone apps can now track you after you delete them. Companies including Adjust, AppsFlyer, MoEngage, LocalTix, and CleverApp, which serve businesses such as T-Mobile, Spotify, and Yelp, are providing clients uninstall trackers for both iOS and Android devices. It can be used. The trackers encourage prior users to reinstall the application. The tracking method utilizes a silent push notification, which contact installed apps without alerting users. Those notifications normally conduct processes such as refreshing an application while it's been running in the background. When the app doesn't respond, the developer notes it has been uninstalled. The company then can use that information for advertising purposes. Now, this move is a violation of Apple and Google's policies, who predicted the companies would soon stop the developers from using this silent push notification to build advertising. Google app have not commented yet, but this is pretty crazy. So you uninstall the Spotify app, it knows it's been uninstalled, and they start advertising against you to reinstall the app. This is, again, privacy out of control. Just another example of that. And again, this article is by Newsweek. I would have a tendency to probably believe that they're on track with this, but just makes you sit back and go, wow, a little bit. It truly, truly does. All right, we've talked about Tableau a few times. As a matter of fact, I got some feedback on the Tableau from the last time we talked about it. But cut the cord with Tableau. It's over the air DVR is now down to $100. It's normally $140. The dual light can record or stream two channels at once. Plus, there's a rare sale on a Hulu subscription as well. So this is pretty cool. Again, the Tableau Dual Light OTA DVR for $99. Now, there's also the TiVo Bolt. There's the Amazon Fire TV Recast, which is going to become available here in next month. But at $99, you really can't go wrong with this. And you do have to get a hard drive for it. But a lot of you probably have got some hard drives laying around. Some spinners, probably, that you've replaced with SSDs. So a good place to reutilize a hard drive inside a Tableau. So I have the link up in the show notes. Of course, the iPhone XR, or excuse me, the iPhone XR is now on the street. And actually, there's a deal I'm going to talk about, a 2-for-1 if you add an additional line that Verizon's running, but I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the iPhone XR, you know, my mom is due for a phone upgrade. And I really had not done a lot of looking into this phone. And when the phone was released, because she was talking about picking up one, I initially kind of wrinkled my nose a little bit. But as I read about this phone, about this iPhone XR, it's not a bad phone. It's got the new processor in it. It's got, the face unlocking. It's doesn't have a button. And the only real, the true difference here is a little bit delta on the camera. And a little bit of a delta on the screen, using an LCD screen instead of an OLED screen. But it's $250 cheaper. And you can get it in red, orange, blue, white, a variety of colors, yellow. So this so far has got a pretty good review on this. And people aren't poo-pooing it too much, which I thought they would. So lots of people have positive things to say about the iPhone XR. I'm just, I think we'll have to watch this and see where this goes. But I think for those of you that don't want to spend $1,000 for an iPhone XS, this may make for a very good alternative at a much lower price. And while it's not have the same exact build, obviously, as iPhone XS or Max, I don't think you would expect it to be. But overall, I don't think you're going to sacrifice much performance here because of the chip they have inside it. You know, it's because it's got that new processing chip, which will, you know, make it as snappy as the XS versions. The folks that control credit scores, there's something new coming out called the Ultra FICO credit score. And what they're going to be looking at, and I'm a little bit concerned about this, is they're, rather than relying primarily on a customer's credit paying history, the FICO folks will instead factor in how consumers manage the cash in their checking accounts, savings, and money market accounts. Now, I think the thing that makes me a little nervous here is a lot of people are very much, they pay their bills, they live within their means, but they're always on the edge in that they can't put a lot of extra money in savings or have extra money going into checking because it just, you know, they're good and honest and pay their bills. And they should be rewarded with a credit score that reflects they have the ability to pay and they pay responsibly. I don't think anyone's bank balance should be a reflection of what your credit score is going to be. And I was trying to get a little bit of detail here on what levels, how much money do you have in the checkings or in savings before they start hitting you or start penalizing you in this new ranking. They say changes tend to help those who do not have extensive credit history. Consumers with an average balance of at least $400 who haven't overdrawn in the prior 3 months would likely get a credit boost. A FICO representative added that some scores may see a decrease FICO, may see a decrease. FICO claims that the Ultra score will attract the underbanked, the self-employed, millennials, immigrant entrepreneurs, migrant savers, and remitters, and give people who may have suffered financial distress but are recovering a second chance. So I think it's a good indicator for people that are recovering from some financial trouble. But I get worried again that those that are having the biggest challenges in life financially, even though they're being good stewards of their money that they have, are going to be impacted negatively here. We'll see. They say it's supposed to eliminate that, but I don't know. I've got a weird feeling about this. I really do. The folks at Google, wow, Game of Thrones Night King is using Chromebook to recruit his army. It's a bizarre Google promo that shows how the lead White Walker would use a laptop. And for those of you that are Game of Thrones fans, you'll be able to see how the White Walker is able to recruit his army of walkers. And it's a cutesy little YouTube video. And they're trying to keep, I wonder if this was a sponsored piece by Game of Thrones to Google, or someone at Google really thought this was going to be a cool way to promote Game of Thrones or Chrome. I don't know which way, but it smells a little swarmy to me. But the video is kind of cute. There's a lot of interesting segues from it. Anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you as well. Hey, I mentioned earlier, and I should have had this stacked right on top of the other article, but Verizon's buy one, get one iPhone XR deal is better than Sprint's. You don't need a premium trade-in to score a free XR from Verizon, but you do have to add another line. So I don't know how you can squeeze around this. Maybe add a line and then take one of your kids' lines off and give the kid the new line. I don't know. But if you want two new iPhones, here's a chance to save $750 on an iPhone XR. I heard this deal was also available for the XS, but I know it's for sure available on the XR. All right. You know, Gmail has this functionality where you can add add-ons, and it gives you more functionality to Gmail. You can put an add-on like Dropbox or something to that effect. So the folks over at Lifehacker have a list of good add-ons that will help you in doing email and keeping stuff organized. Of course, Dropbox is there, Trello, Asana. And this is a cool one because I'm a heavy Asana user. I didn't know there was an add-on for Gmail for Asana, so I'll be checking that out. DocuSign is a great app. Zoom is another one. Zoom allows users to set up video calls or chat directly through Gmail. Hiver's one that I'm not very familiar with. And it basically helps workers manage response to bucket email accounts made for groups rather than individuals, AKA the support line. So some pretty cool little add-ons here. Anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. What happened here? Okay, so over at makeuseof.com, there's 4 utilities for tweaking your Mac without the terminal. So I haven't been tinkering too much with my Mac setups. I've been letting them just kind of run in default mode. You know, I may change the background a little bit or something, but other than that, I've been doing very few tweaks, but they've got some great tools to tinker under the hood. One of them is called Tinker Tool. Another is called Onyx. Mac Pilot is another. Cocktail is one. The first 3 are free. So any of you Mac users out there, are you using any of these, I guess for a better word, Mac optimization applications or modification applications? If you are, I'd love to hear which one you're using, if you like it or not, and some of the cool things you've done to enhance your Mac utilization. Does Amazon Echo support Spotify? Yes, if you are an Spotify premium account, if you have a paid account with Spotify, you can use Alexa to play Spotify, to play podcasts that are on Spotify. So this article gives you instructions on how to do that, how to implement that through your Amazon device, your Alexa device. Again, link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. Also, are you thinking about making the swap? Are you thinking about going to an Android device? You know, for most of us, buying a smartphone is pretty easy. You are in a certain model line. You like it. You wait for the next one or the follow one to come out. You upgrade every 2 to 3 years. I know some of you are upgrading every year, but let's say it's time to switch to Android. Well, Phone Finder, this is pretty cool. Phone Finder, and it's not at phonefinder.com, so you'll have to come to the show notes to get the link, is an incredible, useful way to search for your next smartphone based on the specs that are most important to you. And you can pick from a lot: price, size, thickness, display, resolution, camera, and so forth. And so again, if you're kind of looking for an Android device and you want to kind of shop around a little bit, you can use Phone Finder to do that from GSM Arena, from the GSM Arena website. Have to be quite frank here. I'm just about hitting the wall. I'm pressing through on the show. But usually the second day back, I can make it to about this time of night. Because I started my day at my normal time, but I'm just about ready to faceplant here. So I'll try to keep the energy up for you. Sorry. Facebook is reportedly looking to acquire a cybersecurity firm in the wake of its most recent hack. So they're shopping around and we're looking to buy instead of rent, which is not surprising. If you're in Florida and you were in the community that was doing the test school bus driving, aka automated school bus driving, the feds have come in and shut it down. Transdev, which is a France company, had applied to do some tests and some driving and some things in Florida, which they signed off on, but they never told the feds they were going to be doing it with a test driving a new type of school bus. Well, school buses are heavily regulated in the United States, and the feds came in and just squashed it like a they figured out what's going on and shut them down. And they reacted very swiftly and very harshly with them. And basically they wanted to work with them, but they did not know they were going to be transporting children, even though there was a driver in the vehicle to take over. I don't think we're ready to put our kids in automated test vehicles yet. Really? Can you imagine a parent that was in that community that said, oh, I think that's a great idea. You just wonder, really. But obviously the feds found out and shut it down. The BBC is reporting that YouTube is pouring money into how-to videos. YouTube will spend $20 million developing educational and how-to content on the platform. Some video makers have been really frustrated by changes to the platform that have made it harder for them to earn money producing short and well-researched videos. So now they're going to be opening a learning channel, which will showcase its own original programs and those made by independents. Organizations such as Goodwill and Europe will help curate the channel and put together playlists of educational content. So, interesting move here by Google. And learning videos. I find Goodwill, one of the companies, kind of an odd choice, but it is what it is. All right, Android. Many of you have been with Android from the beginning. Android 10-year visual history. This is a cool article over on The Verge. And it'll take you a little bit of a time walk back over the past 10 years. So if you're an Android user and you've got some old Android phones, maybe you can boot some of those up and take a look. But at least you'll be able to take a walk down memory lane by this article from The Verge. This may make some of you laugh. It did me. Now, listen to this. U.S. teens are more interested than ever in the iPhone, Apple Watch, which is now their second choice after Rolex. Now, let me read that again. This is according to 9to5 Mac. U.S. teens are more interested than ever in iPhone, and Apple Watch is their second choice after Rolex. A large-scale survey of U.S. teens found that their intention to buy an iPhone at its highest level ever, some 86% of them stating it will be their next smartphone purchase. Now, I thought, okay, good. I'm following now. Where does this Apple Watch come in? Apple Watch interest is up significantly, with 23% planning to buy an Apple Watch in the next 6 months versus 20% in 2018. So still, where did this Rolex conversation come in? Amusingly, when the U.S. teens in the upper family income brackets were asked their favorite watch brand rather than the brand they intended to buy, the Apple Watch was in second place behind Rolex. Now, upper family bracket, teenagers, kids getting Rolexes, it will be a cold day in HELL. Are you kidding me? The top 10 was rounded out by Michael Kors, Fossil, Casio, because of vintage Casio, Patek Philippe, Fitbit, Gucci, Nixon, and Audemars Piguet. So, okay, I'm sure I destroyed that one. But my kids, I can't even imagine my kids even contemplating a Rolex. Really? this must be the upper echelon of teen, like the Kardashians, to think about a Rolex over, I'm pretty shocked, to be honest with you. Anyway, moving on. There's an article from Engadget, How to Pick a Smartphone 2018. So they've got a good walkthrough on picking the platform, determining what matters for you, the budget, the display, all those things that you need to be aware of. For some of you, the camera is the most important thing, or performance and playing games. So it really boils down to really figuring out what you want. And the Engadget folks will let you focus in on that. Then you can use that other website we talked about to plug those numbers in and then find the phone perfect for you. Netflix is going to raise $2 billion to pay for more original content. It's hard to deny that Netflix is a powerhouse when it comes to original content. They want to remain on top. And to do that, they're willing to go in debt. Netflix announced they plans to raise $2 million in debt rather than offering equity in the company to fund general corporate purposes, which may include content acquisition, product development, capital expenditures, investments, working capital, and potential acquisitions. So again, they got to stay ahead of the programming key here. And to do that, they got to spend money. They've done this before. The last time they went after $1 billion, I don't know what the terms are. We're on a repayment, but they're going out for another $2 billion. eBay, yes, they now have their own smartphone trade-in program, offers instant payout. So if you're looking to sell smartphones or receive money for your old device, it's launched a new service called eBay Instant Selling. The program will enable users to sell their smartphone and get paid instantly with an eBay voucher. This eliminates the need for them to manage the selling process. So that's pretty cool. And they have a list of phones and tablets and so forth and how much they're going to offer you for them. All right. Linus Torvalds is back in charge of Linux after a few weeks off to reconsider his role in the Linux community. Linus is back in the saddle. And supposedly he went and got some behavior management training. Okay. So anyway, he's back, and that'll make those of you that are, was worried about where Linux was headed, that he'll be back and guiding the ship there. All right, this story just doesn't want to die. Amazon executive and Supermicro CEO have called for a retraction to the spy chip story, along with Apple. They've all been demanding that Bloomberg retracts their story. And I'm just going to stay right where I was before I left to go to the mainland, is that I firmly believe that these companies have been told you shall defend and keep your mouth shut on this at all cost. And I'm still of the opinion that the government is behind this and telling these companies to remain numb. Mum's the word. Don't say nothing. Fight it, because it's too big. This story, I keep telling you all, this story's too big to be true. If it turned out to be true that China did place a chip on a motherboard to get remote access to the computers, none of the stuff you have in your house today you would consider safe. It's too big a story. This is why they're fighting to have it these stories retracted. I'm just going to stay by it. I think it happened. I think Bloomberg's right. I think these companies are panicking. I think the government's telling them to fight at all cost. So we'll see. And there's some others that are in the other camp. John Furrier, good friend of mine. He firmly believes that Bloomberg got it wrong. I don't. I truly, truly don't. Did you know this is the 60th anniversary for video games? Whoa. The forerunner of today's video game celebrated its 60th birthday last week as the anniversary of William Higginbotham's Tennis for Two rolled around. Tennis for Two was built by Higginbotham as a way of injecting a bit of life to the somewhat non-interactive nature of U.S.-based Brookhaven National Laboratory. It consisted of two controllers attached to an analog computer and an O-scope showing two lines representing a tennis court and net, a bright dot to represent the ball. Each player had a controller with a button to swing an invisible racket and a dial to adjust the angle, and goodness, it blew the minds of attendees at the exhibition. Hundreds queued up to have a go. Oh, that's pretty amazing. So, the video game was born 60 years ago. BGR.com has an article, and I'm going to reload it. They did a benchmark between the Pixel 3 versus the iPhone XS, and oh, my. The Pixel 3 XL, very embarrassing. It got stomped. It got stomped bad by the iPhone XS Max. The article says it's pretty embarrassing, and largely because of the processor that the Pixel 3 is running. It's a slow 8 nanometer Snapdragon 855. It's a 10 nanometer 845 chip. And the 7 nanometer chip is just around the corner, but old tech here is largely responsible for the lack of speed on the Pixel 3. So just a little bit of warning, okay? Black Friday has arrived at Monoprice with 20% off nearly everything, even sale items. So I haven't been shopping Monoprice lately because they used to be the best deal in town, but their shipping kills me. It really, really does. But if you can get some deals on some cables and a variety of different stuff they've got going on over there, again, 20% off almost everything at Monoprice. And they've got more than cables and connectors these days. So take a gander, all right? The Pixel 3 XL speakers may be making a buzzing sound for some users. And of course, early adopters and early buyers of stuff usually end up with stuff that may have a few issues. And they've been taking social media to complain about this. Google knows about it. So we'll see how they respond, and whether or not they replace these phones or not. Of course, I'm a big fan of Anker products, A-N-K-E-R. So you can never get stranded in an emergency with the $80 Anker Rove Jump Starter Pro. So this thing jumpstart your car? Yeah, Anker's device combines an emergency jumpstart with an emergency battery charger. If your car dies on you, you won't have to worry about being stranded in the middle of nowhere. You get up to 15 jump starts from a single charge of this device. Any of you had any luck starting a vehicle with one of these little mini jump packs? I'd love to hear from you if you have. I've never seen one of these. Of course, I've never had the opportunity to see one of these have to jump a vehicle. I think it'd be cool to see how well they crank. Or are they just short cranks? Is that all you get out of one of these? Even though you can do it 10 different times. So, what's the price on this bad boy? It's $79.99. It's on sale, normally $100. So, pretty big savings there for sure. All right, that's going to wrap me up. I'm going to get me to the end of the content here quick tonight. And that's good because I'm a little punchy tonight just because of the jet lag. And double checking here the email. Let's see, when did that come in from Jack? They came in on the 10th. And when was the last show? I must have read this on the last show. So no email from all of you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to email me. Again, apologize for the shorter show tonight. I'll be back with a longer one on Thursday. Get back in the swing of things here and not have as much bouncing against the walls from no sleep. But anyway, we'll get you in, get you out tonight. Look forward to Kirk launching his new show, GNC Weekly. And we'll be talking more about that on Thursday. And I've actually got to get through his website and do a little QA yet, but he's ready to go. He says he's a little nervous about the first program. So I think he's actually going to be recording it Friday evening. So we'll see when it comes out. And I'm looking forward to taking a listen and see how he's formatting the show. And this is the thing here. I don't give Kirk set the website up by himself, did the first test by himself. I don't do a lot of hands-on. I want the content creator to learn the process of getting set up. I'll come in and help Kirk with some mentoring on things he can be doing after he gets the show launch. But part of it is learning the grind and how to do a podcast. If you're interested in partnering up here, if you're interested in being a podcaster with the Geek News Central team, part of the network here, drop me an email. Let me know. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Again, if you take care of the sponsor, I'm most grateful. And if you aren't able to pick up a product or purchase something from GoDaddy or not in the market right now for domain name or for a hosting account, don't forget me. You can come in, be an insider from a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month contribution, or you can come in and do a one-time donation on the website at geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I want to thank you so much. I'll be back with you on Thursday in a little bit better state, not as kind of as wide-eyed as I am right now. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here, everyone. Take care. Aloha.